Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, we'll visit the Herbert Hoover Presidential Library and Museum to tour the exhibit Tall Grass to Knee High, A Century of Iowa Farming. But first, how do you get kids excited about conservation and introduce them to topics like water quality and soil erosion? Some creative people at Iowa Learning Farms, a conservation education initiative from Iowa State University Extension and Outreach, came up with a fun idea. It's called Water Rocks. They host school assemblies, write and perform original music, and play games about conservation. Here is a sample of what they do. This one's called Salute to Wastewater.
Come on down and gather round. Let's hear.
A little of Salute to Wastewater from Water Rocks. Not only is it a catchy tune, but it was a 2016 Iowa Motion Picture Association Award winner for the music video. And I have some of the key players in Water Rocks with me today. Jacqueline Comito is Program Director for Iowa Learning Farms. Hello, Jackie.
Hi, Charity. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Ann Stout is also here, Iowa Learning Farm Science Director. Hello, Ann.
Hello, good morning.
And Todd Stevens, Water Rocks Music and Outreach Specialist. Hello, Todd.
Hi, very happy to be here today.
Thank you all for being here. And Jackie, I want to start with you. Tell me how Water Rocks came about.
Okay, well, it always, you know, when you're at a university, a lot of times to make things happen, you have to write grants. And so we heard about this grant where they were giving quite a lot of money to do a youth water education program. So we tried for that grant, and we didn't get it. But that wasn't, fortunately, the end of the story, because Alan Bonini at the Iowa Department of Natural Resources liked our idea so much for Water Rocks that he says, you know what? Break your proposal into three different stages, and we'll see if we can't fund this. And they did. They funded all three stages. They funded us for 6 years through EPA dollars. And just, you know, hats off to the DNR for being, and Alan for having the insight to understand that we got to play the long game with the environment, which means talking to young people.
So take me back to that grant proposal meeting, because maybe the grant put the pressure on you to come up with an idea, but how did Water Rocks come to the surface?
Well, you know, okay, so before this, we had started doing some youth education as a part of the Iowa Learning Farms, and we had done some music. So Todd, Ann, and I had gotten together and collaborated on a Culture of Conservation video series where we had written two songs. It was the first two, actually, songs with words that we had done. One of them we're going to do today, Don't Treat Mother Earth Like Dirt. And Anna and I were at a high school visit, and they had watched one of the videos that had the Don't Treat Mother Earth Like Dirt on it. And the kids, these high school students, started singing the song to us. And afterwards, Anna and I said, we asked the teacher, how many times did they watch the video? And he goes, just once. And after just watching the video once, they knew the chorus to Don't Treat Mother Earth Like Dirt. And we went, wow, we're underestimating the power of music. So let's try to get music to teach young people these concepts, because they're going to remember it a lot better. And that's where Water Rocks, it kind of got born there. So this idea that music is a really powerful teaching device.
And was it just serendipity that you had people on staff who had musical abilities?
Well, Anne and I have known each other since she was an undergraduate at Iowa State, and we actually met through the Catholic Church in Ames, and she played piano for my music group, so I knew she was talented. Now, we didn't hire her back to do that. She got an environmental engineering degree, but having the piano skills and the ability to write music was a real plus. And go ahead, Anne.
We always joke that everybody has to have multiple talents to work on the team. So that was my special skill that I brought to the table.
And then Todd and I and Anne have known we were doing other music things, and it just made sense. Todd kept writing music for us, primarily started with instrumental. But then the first children's CD that we did as sort of a side project with the Ames Public Library, Todd came in and wrote quite a few of those songs with me doing some of the lyrics, Anne helping with lyrics, Todd doing lyrics. So when we were able to, for Water Rocks adding assemblies, we got Todd hired on. So, serendipity, but also, you know, I'm a musician, so I have musician friends.
So, all right, just listening to a little bit of Salute to Wastewater, we can get an idea that the music is catchy, but you're clearly approaching this with a strong sense of humor. Can the three of you tell me a little bit more about the vision for these songs? Because it's pretty hard to sell a serious song about conservation to a school assembly, isn't it?
Oh, totally. The kids, they want to be able to be engaged. They want to be able to sing with
you.
It's
participatory.
It's participatory. And so, yes, sense of humor is, I think, one of our most powerful tools in our arsenal. Wastewater Plant We Salute You is one of my favorites, so I'm glad you played that.
Could you guys play a little bit of Don't Treat Mother Earth Like Dirt for us?
We sure can.
Let's all respect Mother Earth now. Let us work shoulder to shoulder. Treat her real kindly. Don't use her blindly. Look after her as she grows older. Mother Earth has valleys that feed us. She has rivers and lakes that refresh us. Nothing's insaner than to fail to sustain her. Let's show her we know that she's precious. Don't treat Mother Earth like dirt. Erosion, pollution, they hurt. So swear by your best flannel shirt. Don't treat Mother Earth like dirt. Don't treat Mother Earth like dirt.
So that's the first chorus on that one. But I do have to give a shout out to Owen Kalt, who wrote the lyrics on this one.
So you had high school students singing along. Were you nervous at all, any of you, the first time you did a school assembly, worried that this wasn't going to fly?
Well, fortunately, Todd, before he came to work with us, worked with Rock and Prevention. So he had a little bit of experience with doing school assemblies, but this teaching science through music was a whole new ballgame. Todd, do you want to tell them about our first assembly? Which we had to do a redo this year because it was so bad.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, we went in just kind of blindly, just trying some things to see if it would work. And in our first assembly, it was a catastrophe. And so on the way back home, we're just
all right. What made it a catastrophe?
Well, we tried to do some group plays where we had the whole school participating in these plays, and it dragged on. We weren't able to do like a whole fourth of our program because of how long it took. So we didn't really get to present our full program there. And it kind of left a bad taste in some of the teachers' mouth about our program.
At that school.
At that school. That's right. At that particular, on our debut. And on the way home.
And what age group was that?
We did K through 5 that day.
Okay.
Actually, the kindergarten, the younger program, they liked it.
The younger program was actually more pulled together, and it worked better. That's where we use What Does River Want to Do, which works really well with young people. It was the older kids that we didn't quite have it down. But on the drive home, it was funny because it was like a 2.5-hour drive. And in the drive home, we're kind of talking about it, and we're feeling discouraged. And then we're like 5 minutes out of Ames, and I said to Todd, let's just scrap the plays and just do one play. And Todd's like, that's a great idea, Jackie. I didn't want to propose that. So within like 2 days, we totally revamped it, and we're out workshopping it again. The early assemblies, just like our classroom visits that Anne does a lot of direction on, we early stages, we workshop them with students. We watch what how they want to learn, what's resonating, and we don't hesitate to change something if it's not working.
Now, you, with your music, you have so many different varieties of styles. In the promo for this show, I played a little bit of your heavy metal anthem about cover crops. You have kind of a 1960s hippie spoof about pollinators. And, you know, there obviously we heard some country music. How do you decide what kind of music you're going to use to talk about different topics?
Well, since I have the ability to kind of write different types of music, really the ideas come from Ann and Jackie. They'll say, hey, Todd, we need a blues song, or Todd, we need an R&B song, or we need a hip-hop song. And I'd say, okay, you know, what's the topic? And they'll give me the topic. Sometimes they'll have to give me some points on what I'm going to say, because, you know, at first I didn't know any of the science at all. So that came from these awesome brains. And they'd say, hey, here's some of the highlight. Here's some of the points. Talk about this. And then I would put it into a song format. And it's kind of crazy because I was writing songs I never would have written otherwise.
Well, maybe you guys, yeah, could you perform a little bit of your Watershed rap for us as we approach our break here?
Yeah, sure. Right now?
Yeah.
Water flows, water sheds, and water runs all to one point when the rain is done. This all takes place in one area of land. To the bottom it goes, where the river flows. Over, across and through the ground it goes. Always traveling downhill when it flows. What, you didn't know it's all about topography? Man, that's an important part of our geography. It's true, it's real, I don't mean to bring surprises. Watersheds come in many different sizes. You live between the Appalachians and the Rockies. Your river drains down to the Mississippi. Small rivers join big ones and they join bigger ones, bro, all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. But some creeks and streams are so small, they don't even got a name. But that's how it goes in this game. Now hear me out, listen up, every boy and girl. Our watershed's the fourth largest in the world, and now that ain't too shabby. You daygum Skippy, the name of our watershed is the Mississippi. Every river close to you is flowing downhill. The Gulf of Mexico is the final appeal. In conclusion, a watershed's an area of land that drains to a common water. Water body, understand? Now say, I live in a watershed. Go!
I live in a watershed.
Everybody say, I live in a watershed. Come on.
I live in a watershed.
Say it loud. I live in a watershed. Hey!
I live in a watershed.
Watershed rap. We are talking to Water Rocks, Jacqueline Comito, Ann Stout, and Todd Stevens. They're with the Iowa Learning Farms and Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. We'll continue our conversation in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up a little later in the hour, we're going to visit the Herbert Hoover Presidential Library and Museum to tour the exhibit Tall Grass to Knee High, A Century of Iowa Farming. Right now, I'm talking with the folks behind Water Rocks. It's a creative conservation education initiative from Iowa State University Extension and Outreach, part of the Iowa Learning Farms. With me, Jackie Comito. She's Program Director for Iowa Learning Farms. Ann Stout, Iowa Learning Farms Science Director, Todd Stevens, Water Rocks Music and Outreach Specialist. You know, I was listening to your watershed rap before the break, and I know quite a bit about watersheds, but I found myself swelling with pride about our watershed. Are you hoping to instill a sort of patriotism about our watershed in the students that you talk to?
So the music is really designed to just connect emotionally, but also to be totally grounded in the science. So to engage young people with what are these issues going on around us every day? We do have some serious challenges with water here in the state of Iowa, with our natural resources on the bigger picture. And so the music is just a real tangible way to be able to connect with them. So connect emotionally, connect through humor, and get them thinking about these things and have fun while they're doing it.
So explain what a Water Rocks assembly is like. I know that you're doing, first of all, I mean, how many assemblies are you doing every year? You're incredibly busy.
Between our classroom visits that we do, as well as our Water Rocks assemblies, this past school year, we were in 180 different schools across the state, reaching over 34,000 students.
Wow. And there are about 180 days in the school year. So are you yes. doing an assembly pretty much every day?
A lot of times we've got two teams out in different schools on any given day. So, and that is just a portion of the program. We actually have a lot of schools that request us to come in that we're actually not even able to fulfill. The demand is that great. Wow. But I'll turn it over to Todd if you want to talk a little bit about how the assemblies
yeah.
roll.
Tell me about when you can pick an age group if they're pretty different
I think our wheelhouse is grades 4 through 8, and what we do is we just hit them with the music right away and get them up dancing. I think it's a price to the teachers because I invite students to come up to the front. So we'll get about 80 to 100 kids up dancing, and the teachers are looking like, what in the world is going on? And then we send them right back and have them sit down quietly and start explaining to them what we're all about. And I think it really blows the teachers' minds at how do these guys control these kids and get them to be quiet after they were just going nuts a minute ago. And we were able to lecture all of our science and what we're talking about because we just connected with them with the song that we did. We teach them through the song, and then they sit down and they want to learn more about it. So we can talk about it. We do plays. We have these, you know, interesting topics like scooping poop, which they love that, you know. And the whole thing, because you don't give them time to breathe. They're connected through the whole 45 to 50 minutes. And I think at the end of it, it's really the students and the teachers end up saying it was one of the best assemblies they've ever had.
And Charity, Nathan Stevenson is a big part of the assemblies, too. He does actually all of our design work. So if you like the way we look, we're big into art, too. So not just music, but art. But Nathan wanted me to tell you the story that they went to an assembly this year where it was a second time and they were teaching the soil assembly. But the kids wanted them to sing the watershed song from the water assembly. So they remembered it a year later. And they, again, only heard it once. We do leave them with the music so they could go back and listen to it. But we got the sense that this was from listening to it once, that they remembered it and could sing it. They actually broke out into the whole chorus of We All Live in a Watershed.
Wow. So, all right. I mean, obviously, that's a pretty strong anecdotal bit of evidence that kids are really connecting with this material. But how do you know they're learning what you want them to learn?
That's a great question. So my background, other than being a singer, is I have my PhD in anthropology. So I do a lot of the evaluation and assessment. And we think it's really important to know if we're being successful. So we came up with a couple of really easy, quick ways to do this. So we do it by like a post and a pre and a post question. And so like with the watershed classroom visit, before we begin, 37% of them can tell us what a watershed is. After the classroom, 91% of them can. For the school assemblies, we're actually able to assess it even deeper because we have student helpers that participate, and we do a much longer exam. So we can even see, did they start picking up on some of the solutions, some of the pollution? So it isn't just about defining watershed. So we feel like through that, and then the final way we evaluate it is we actually ask the teachers, what did the students learn and what were they talking about? Like, what were they talking about at recess? And the teachers are coming back at high levels telling us exactly our learning objectives. So we don't tell the teachers that in advance, but that's what they're coming back with us to, is they learned that a watershed is blank. So those are the three ways that we know this is working.
So you're doing school assemblies, you're doing classroom visits. You also have other outreach efforts. You have your conservation stations, and they travel across the state April through October. So that's kind of the opposite of the school year. Tell me about the conservation stations.
Conservation stations are really taking the conservation show on the road. So we go out to all kinds of community events, everything from county fairs to farmers markets to community festivals, and it's really a chance to try to engage the citizens of Iowa. And so this is broader. I mean, we're covering, certainly talking with a lot of youth, but all generations. We're often visiting with their parents or their grandparents that are there with them. And so it's a chance to get them engaged hands-on. We've got a ton of different games, hands-on activities that we take with us. Each of the trailers has a rainfall simulator, so it's a chance to see firsthand the science of what's happening on the land, the connections between different practices, both agricultural as well as urban, and how those practices are then connected with water quality, connected with keeping our soil in place and minimizing erosion. So it's a really powerful visual, as well as other hands-on games, like a game about picking up after our pets, because pet waste can be a big contributor to water quality.
And, well, speaking of pets, pets come into play quite a bit in your education,
yes.
Especially dogs. Tell me how you use dogs.
I just knew that you were going to ask that question. In fact, I said to Todd while we're practicing, we have two songs that have dogs mentioned in them. I know she's going to ask about the dogs. Well, you know, this is kind of funny. Long before Water Rocks was even a concept, when we first hired Ann is very passionate about dogs. So we did kind of a joke on our larger learning farm staff. Ann, you want to tell them about it?
Sure. So I was tasked with coming into a staff meeting, and it was actually presenting some preliminary ideas for the conservation station trailers very early on. And I had made this mock poster for the staff meeting, and it showed a picture of two dogs So both of our dogs, one of them was out swimming, my dog out swimming in the lake, and it was Jackie's dog relieving himself. And so, like on a shrub. And so I made this poster just with a mock slogan, something along the lines of, where does your watershed, where does your water flow? Know your watershed. And brought it into the staff meeting totally as a joke. And it got some laughs and it got some skepticism and it got some appeal. And so we just went from there and eventually launched this initiative as part of our program. We decided we're going to run with the idea of the conservation pack. So dogs work together in packs. That whole pack mentality of it's going to take all of us. We're all in this together. It's going to take everyone working together to protect our water, to protect our awesome soil and other natural resources. And so the conservation pack was born.
Yeah, so Charity, we're making this sound like everything we did was so really like well received at Iowa State, and that isn't the case because you know we're dealing with faculty, we're dealing with people who are experts in water quality and different topics like that, and we're really pushing the envelope. In fact, I can remember a conversation when Water Rocks was born and we got the initial funding. Talking to, at that time, he was the director of Ag and Natural Resources, John Lawrence. He's now vice president of Extension and Outreach at Iowa State. And he kept saying to me, and I said, well, we can do things that it can be fun. And he kept saying, but it's got to be good science. And I said, but it can be fun. And he was very skeptical, and he won't mind me saying that because later when he came to one of our, we also educate teachers. We do a teacher summit during the summer and give them all these materials. He came to one and he told the teachers about doubting us, but now seeing that it works. This program works, and it works very well.
It's an and. It's grounded in sound science, and it's a whole lot of fun.
All right. Well, speaking of dogs, maybe you guys could perform a little bit of What Does a River Want to Do? And there's a dog featured in this one, right?
Yeah, I would love to do it. This is actually one of my favorite, and the young kids really love this song.
Charlie, the dog, and I were out on a walk. Down by the river, we started to talk about how different the river looked. No matter where we walked or what path we took, Charlie wagged his tail and asked if I knew, what does the river want to do?
I know I do, I know I do, I know I do, I know I do,
said the mighty eagle way up in a tree. I am here every day, I know what I see. It twists and turns left and right.
It twists and turns left and right.
That's what the river wants to do.
That's what the river wants to do.
All right, a little bit of What Does a River Want to Do from Water Rocks, the Iowa Learning Farms. And we do have a caller on the line, 866-780-9100 is the number. Lydia is with us from, well, maybe not in San Antonio, Texas today, but from San Antonio. Hi, Lydia.
Hi.
What's your question?
I love to listen to NPR on my trip from Texas to Minnesota, and your show is fantastic. And the program that you're talking about is fantastic, and do you have any plans to expand it to other states? Because I think Texas needs it for sure, and some other southern states.
All right. Lydia, thanks a lot for your question. Now, I know ISU Extension is not going to probably start serving other states, but have you had inquiries from other extension programs in other states about trying to get a program like this started elsewhere?
Well, actually, we do take the assemblies into other states. So we've been to Missouri. We have been to South Dakota. We've been to Nebraska. With the program, we've actually trained extension people through a summit to come and learn some of our modules and do them in from Missouri, South Dakota. Where else were they from, Anne?
We've had folks from Kansas, basically the upper Midwest.
Yeah, the upper Midwest.
Trained extension folks.
But,
yep.
But I would say to this, one of our maybe bigger plans, Iowa State University Extension Outreach doesn't, but Water Rocks has a little bit of flexibility because we are soft funded. So if there's somebody out there who thinks this is a great idea, we can always use more funding, and that gives us flexibility to get it out to other places.
All right. Well, Lydia, thanks so much for the question and safe travels. Let's talk about funding. You mentioned that this was a grant idea, but you didn't get the grant. But the DNR decided that they wanted to fund this idea. Where does your support come from now?
So our support is we're finishing up for the next year, the EPA Iowa DNR grant. So that'll go through June. But we have gotten some really great funding from the Leopold Center for Sustainable Ag through the last few years. But here's what's really cool.
Except the Leopold Center for Sustainable Agriculture had their funding cut.
They did. They did. But we still had, we were able to, there we got in like grandmothered in on some funds last year. So we still have those at play. But here's what's really neat. 47 of the 100 soil and water conservation districts have contributed money to our program. And we started a new funding model this year where we reached out to the county extension councils, and we've had 10 of them so far give us funding. So our point is just like a watershed that everything is connected. Since we are out in the county so much, we're trying to get those two organizations particularly have been wonderful, and we want to shout out to them. And so we're trying to do unique and creative funding mechanisms to keep this going, as well as individual donors. So, and obviously, Extension also has the option to fund in on this if they want. So if John Lawrence is listening, we would certainly love to get some funding.
All right. But of course, every group that you've mentioned has, if they receive state funding, they've experienced funding cuts. So are you worried?
You know, I've been in this job now for 13 years between Learning Farms and now Water Rocks. And every year I'm worried, and every year it works out. We can do a lot with a little. So I'm confident. Anne, how do you feel about that? Are you worried?
Well, we've got a lot of the mechanisms in place. We've developed an awesome program, and so now it's at a point of really delivering it. And we're coming up with some other unique partnerships to be able to do that, too. This past year, we started working with the Iowa AmeriCorps 4-H Outreach Program, and so that's really helped to expand our potential. Those numbers of schools that we've gotten into has increased this year in particular because of the help that we've received in working with two AmeriCorps service members. And so there's some perhaps non-traditional ways of doing it. And that's one way that we've found to move forward.
We've also been working with the foundation through the Ag and Biosystems Engineering Department, which is where we're housed, to see if we can't get any corporate sponsorship.
Now, there is a cost for schools that bring your assemblies to the school, $350 for an assembly. But given how many people you're traveling with and how far you're traveling, that sounds like that basically is to cover your costs.
Exactly. It's not even covering our cost. Schools have assembly funds, so it's not a real burden for schools to be able to pay that fee. But the classroom visits are still at no cost.
So when you look to the future, is there a topic that you haven't written a song about yet that you're just looking for the right idea?
Wow. Anne, is there any water quality song that you're just dying to do?
I mean, we haven't done a lot with one area where there's some emerging concerns. We do have one song recorded that's called Caffeinated Fish, and it addresses some of the emerging contaminants in our water. So we've got that one, but some of the other pharmaceuticals, that could be coming down the road. We don't have any songs along those lines yet.
What about an earthworm song, Anne? Anne's doing a really cool research project with earthworms.
That's absolutely possible, too. Yeah, we got to show the earthworms some love.
And Todd, is there a style of song that you haven't gotten to write yet that you're hoping that you get to tackle?
I don't think we've ever done any classical
music. Wow, Todd.
And, you know, we have to see what the students, what the students give us for ideas, because several of our songs have actually emerged out of classroom visits and assemblies with students. One of our songs that's up right now is about migratory birds, and it emerged out of our wetlands presentation doing that with students. One of the games that we play with students is called Habitat Hopscotch, and they get to be migratory birds traveling through the flyway through the different states and stopping at wetlands. And we talk about the parallels between birds travel on the flyway, we travel on the highway, and this long journey. Well, we had students at Madison Elementary in Cedar Rapids that said, hey, that's like that song, Life is a Highway. You should do a song, Life is a Flyway.
So we did.
And we did. And it's on our YouTube channel and it's up. So we can get great inspiration from the students as well.
That is fantastic. Well, I want to go out with the song But First, which has a topic incredibly close to my heart, which is the kids can't care about this stuff if they don't experience it, right?
Right. Exactly.
And before you guys play it, I'll just say thank you to all of you. Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, this has been a blast. Thank you for having us.
Jacqueline Comito, Program Director for Iowa Learning Farms. Anne Stout, Iowa Learning Farms Science Director. Todd Stevens, Water Rocks Music and Outreach Specialist. And we'll go out with But First.
I know the earth has a ton of stress. Water, soil, plants, and animals in distress. Call it global warming or climate change. There's no denying the weather is strange. I need to do my part, I do. But first, I wanna walk my dog. I wanna dance along the river with Jacks on a jog. I wanna enjoy the smells, the flowers, the birds, and the frogs. I wanna chill with my dog. I know all the slogans and I don't disagree. Yes, we can and we should be the change we need.
This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. The world is-